Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. The servant girl came to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before all of them, saying, "I do not know what you are talking about." And when he went out into the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you are also one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath, "I do not know the man." And at that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. All right. Well, grace and peace to you today from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Morning, everyone. For those of you might not know who I am, I'm Pastor Scott, one of the pastors here at Bethesda. And right now, we're in the middle of the time of Lent, that season of the year before Easter, when we focus on the reason why we need a Savior, and also a time when Christians all over the world refocus their lives on following Jesus. And so if you've been with us over the last few weeks, you'll know that here at Bethesda, Pastor Peter and I have been following a Lenten sermon series, looking at the last moments before Jesus went to the cross, according to the Gospel of Matthew. We're essentially focusing on the events of Good Friday. We started out right as the Last Supper ended, and when Jesus went to go pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And today, we're almost looking at a side note of Jesus' experience. If you remember last week, Pastor Peter led us through Jesus' trial before the ruling council, Jewish priests and scholars, which was called the Sanhedrin. And inside the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, Jesus was questioned, accused, and convicted of the crime of blasphemy, which means that Jesus was convicted of denigrating God when he said to Caiaphas that he was the long-awaited Messiah. And so according to the Jewish law in the book of Leviticus, specifically chapter 24, verse 16, the penalty for blasphemy was death. And so the Sanhedrin voted that Jesus needed to die. Now, that was what we were talking about last week. So this week, outside Caiaphas' home, while this is all going on, there was a crowd of people gathering. Peter, who was with Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, was in that crowd. Now, if you remember, Peter was probably one of, if not the most, public, out front disciples of Jesus. For 3 years, wherever Jesus went, Peter pretty much went with him. And due to his boisterous, and I'm sure some might say overbearing nature, he was usually one of the most visible of the disciples. But not right now. Right now he's trying to blend in with the crowd. He thought that he could stay hidden and watch from a distance while Jesus was tried inside the house. But then someone recognized him. In our second reading it says that it was one of the servant girls of Caiaphas that recognized him. Now imagine the terror that Peter felt at that moment. Inside the house, at that very moment, Jesus was getting railroaded in a sham trial. And Peter knew that he too could be next. And that he also knew that if he hadn't ran away when the temple soldiers had arrested Jesus at Gethsemane, he probably would have been arrested too and would have been on trial too. But now, the gig is up. What will Peter do now? Will he hold true to his words that he said the day before during the Last Supper when Jesus said that he would deny him? If you remember, this is what Jesus had said the night before. He had said, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." Some big words, Peter. And here's your chance to prove to Jesus what you meant by that. Will you deny Jesus or will you die with him? And you heard in our second reading what his answer was. Not once, not twice, not three times, was what he did not, or he said that he did not know who Jesus was. And he even swore an oath that he didn't know Jesus. You know, he could pretty much say that he had, you know, he had sworn, like, while oath, think of like in a court setting, he had sworn that he had no idea who Jesus was. He had his chance, and he blew it. And he blew it big time. So where's that bravado now, Peter? Where's that determination to fight for Jesus until the end? Peter's determination had faded into fear. And that was a fear that made him curse the very Messiah that he had found and who had changed his life. And of course, I'm being rather hard on Peter. But the point is that Peter did betray Jesus. He denied that he knew him after recognizing that he was God's son and the Messiah. But Peter isn't alone in this. How many of us have done the same thing? How many of us can honestly say that you've never downplayed the fact that you were a Christian? You've never found a moment when it was inconvenient to be a follower of Jesus? Perhaps when other people around you were having fun doing something you knew was wrong, and they expected you to join in. Or maybe at school or at work when being a Christian is considered the same as being backwards, narrow-minded, or even immoral. Because all these situations happen in our society, even here in Western Wisconsin. And denying Jesus doesn't have to be as dramatic as the situations I just mentioned or exactly what Peter went through. Oh no, it can be much more subtle. It can be as simple as deciding that sports or hunting or fishing is more important than worshiping the Lord, or that you're really just too busy to pray after a hard day at work. Or maybe that in your pride you think that you know better than God for how your life should be run and ignore his law or what he's calling you to do. In our sinful lives, we don't need any help to deny Jesus because we can do that all by ourselves. And before you know it, just like Peter, the proverbial rooster crows, condemning each of us to our unfaithfulness to Christ. And maybe, just like Peter, you've been reduced to tears as you realize how much you've betrayed Jesus. Even when you swore you wouldn't. Not again. And it's in this part of both yours and Peter's sorrow that Jesus inserts one of the most beautiful words in the English language. But. Peter betrayed Jesus. Denied him three times, in fact. But Jesus loved him anyways. Flashback to our first reading for today. While on the road, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do the people out there say I am?" That's a valid question. Who is this Jesus guy? Was he the revolutionary that many expected him to be? Was he some sort of prophet like Elijah or Jeremiah from the old days of Israel? Or is he something more? And it's Peter, same Peter that we were talking about who would later deny Jesus, that answered him in verse 16 when he said this, when he said, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now Jesus knew what Peter would do. He knew that he would one day deny him when the going got tough, but he loved him anyways. He promised something here. Look at our reading again in verse 18. He said this, he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Even Peter, who would one day deny Jesus, would be this rock on which the church was built. And the gates of hell, or Hades, as our translation says, won't prevail against it. That the fear that Peter would one day feel as his Messiah was accused of blasphemy is part of that hell, that power of Satan. But it did not prevail against the faith that Peter had. Because here's the kicker, that faith had nothing to do with Peter himself. The verse before, in verse 17, look at this, he said, Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Peter wasn't able to confess that Jesus is Lord by any fault of his own, but because he was enabled to by God. That's why he was able to have the faith that the church could be built on, And as we would later see in the book of Acts, Peter does just that. After denying Jesus, he goes on to Pentecost, where he becomes a courageous apostle on fire for Jesus. That doesn't mean he's perfect. If you remember, in his letters, his fellow apostle Paul calls him out a couple times when Peter deserved it. But Peter's God-given faith gives him the strength to recover from his denial to be the man that God had called him to be. And guess what? If Jesus can forgive and use a broken man like Peter for the glory of God, he can do the same with you. After all, your faith, just like Peter's, is a gift from God. You know, Apostle Paul teaches this to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, when he says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And so since you're here, you can say that Jesus is Lord. And if so, then God's already at work within you. It doesn't matter if you've denied Jesus in your heart 10 minutes ago. Jesus loves you anyways. And he's ready to forgive you and to take you back, just like he did with Peter. And that's what gives me hope. In this Lent, I hope that it gives you hope too. Because I don't know about you, but there's plenty of times I haven't lived up to my own standards, much less Jesus's. But the one thing that gives me hope about this part of Jesus' journey to the cross is that if Jesus can use a knucklehead like the Apostle Peter, then maybe, just maybe, he could use me or you too. And thanks be to God for that. The gates of Hades may press hard on you, just like they did with Peter, but they will never prevail against the church that Jesus built long ago.